Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 95th episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloney, and you can find me on Twitter at Ninja Todd.
And my name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at I am Kessler. Thanks for joining us on this episode of the podcast.
And as you listen to this week's episode, we encourage you to tweet out using the hashtag EduAllStars. We love seeing the conversation and hearing about the great things that stick out to you from our guests. We are so thrilled this week to have Derek McCoy, who is the principal at Spring Lake Middle School. In 2014, he was selected as the NASSP National Digital Principal and is always looking at doing what's best for kids. Derek, thank you so much for coming on with us today.
Todd, Chris, thank you guys for having me. It's a blast and a pleasure to be here.
Well, Derek, we always like to start with just learning a little bit more about our guests. And so how did you end up in education?
You know, that's pretty funny. I was we had a job fair yesterday, and I was at a great talk with a candidate yesterday about how I ended up in education. My undergrad is in political science, so I have a social studies background. But my passion has always been math. So when I graduated, I was in grad school, starting a young family, and I was going to be a college professor. But you know, all my jobs in college and in the summers had always been working with kids, and it took the clarity of my wife just saying, you know, just what are you doing? Just, you know, you're away from kids. You've always worked with kids. You like to work with kids. And I fell back to my math. So in Georgia, and I began teaching in Georgia. So I did the alternative route, licensure. I started teaching middle grades math. I had a great couple of principals, and they really they just nurtured me into being a great teacher. And one of the areas that surprised me, this is way back, I'm aging myself, at 95, I saw a lot of burgeoning opportunities to dive into ed tech back then. So back in Georgia, you know, I was bringing in those graphing calculators early. I was given a MacBook for, and this is a old clamshell MacBooks back then. Sure, yeah. A lot of fun, you know, and it was really a time when we were just starting to really understand the power of the internet in the classroom, and it's pretty funny. back then we didn't have the information repository that we do right now. So I remember one of the hugest deals that we had was my classroom had the Grolier's Multimedia CD, encyclopedia on CD, and it was just a set of three CDs, and it was the biggest deal in the world, you know, as opposed to now where, you know, we pull out our phones and just find out just terabytes of information or whatnot. That was me starting in education and then really diving into the ed tech and integration piece early.
Were you in a middle school or high school as a teacher?
As a teacher, always middle schools.
Always middle school. Okay.
So cool. I've taught in two different middle schools. One in Georgia. One in North Carolina. One in Georgia. I was a middle school math teacher for about, I think, six and a half years. And when my family moved up in North Carolina, even though I had been an assistant principal earlier, I went back into the classroom for a year. So that was a school up here in North Carolina. Both schools, Title I schools. Most of my work has been in Title I schools. A lot of great work, and I love the middle school, man.
Me too. I'm an eighth grade teacher myself. I've been in sixth, seventh, and eighth in the last 5 years. But how did you know you were kind of like ready to get out of the classroom and move into that administration role?
This is just pretty wild. This is a different conversation I had with the principal yesterday. I don't know. I guess the easy way, the most evident thing was I had some great models for school administrators when I was a principal. And they were just awesome people. You know, they were the first people who, when I reflect back on it, they talked leadership. You know, they talked about being leaders or whatnot. And my first principal, her name is Dr. Sandra DeShazer, Bear Creek Middle School, and it's pretty fun. Well, I'll tell you about that in a minute. She was the first principal that I worked with that I can recall early. You know, she had a couple sayings: inspect what you expect, and really, you know, why are we doing this? Our kids can do better, and give it your all because the kids deserve. And you know, she a lot of her stuff just really stuck and resonated with me. So, and a fun story about Dr. DeShazer. I was presenting in NASSP in in February, in San Diego, and while I'm tweeting out some of the stuff that I'm seeing, she was retweeting saying, "Derek, where are you?" And she was at the conference as well, so we hadn't seen her in 10 years, and we hooked up, and took my wife out there, and my wife knows that all three of us know each other very well, and just had a great time catching up, and just. It's cool, you know, to your early leader, your early influence. You can sit down, and her message is still consistent, and she's still doing the same thing right now. So it's awesome. It's good stuff.
So, Derek, when did you begin to get connected on social media?
Ooh, that's very easy. 2006. No, I'm sorry. That's not very easy. 2008. 2008. So we had just moved up to North Carolina. I had worked 2 years in Charlotte, and then I became an assistant principal up here at high school. And it was around that time that North Carolina Virtual Public Schools was just kicking off. And that was one of the most blessed events that happened for me, because the team in North Carolina, at NCVPS, North Carolina Virtual Public Schools, they didn't just roll out virtual public schools. They rolled out innovation. They rolled out being innovative programs and innovative design and doing things different. And it was Dr. Brian Setzer, Don Lorsey, those two guys 100% absolutely got me and the other administrators in Montgomery County Schools, North Carolina, hooked up on Twitter. We started building our PLNs. We started exploring Web 2.0 tools. I credit them 100% with all of it, without a doubt. And I tell you, not looking back, I mean, just never looking back, they had, without them, I wouldn't be the educator I am today. I wouldn't be dreaming different. I wouldn't be engaged in my PLN. And my PLN is one of the best things that has ever happened to me, because you know, all the opportunities and meeting great Todd, I never would have met you, you know, a couple months ago, and Chris, we wouldn't be connected right now, and you're gonna tell me about this Hangout toolbox in a minute. but you know, I've always, like I said, my mentors have always taught me to be advocates for kids. So I got that part. I got that part. I know that I'm here to advocate for my kids. Mm-hmm. But really engaging and embracing that things can be different. That it doesn't have to be the set remediation mindset in our schools, and that's the set remediation mindset in terms of. Being a math teacher, you know, make sure you teach the basics, or make sure that you cover the curriculum and you checking off your pacing guide. You know, why not give our kids, teach the curriculum through a robotics course, or give them some new opportunities. I want my kids in my Title I school who come from a needy population. I want them to work at Google. Okay, there's no way they can work in Google if we're stuck in a remediation mindset.
Right.
So I credit 100%. I credit my mind, that thinking, that the mentality to that team in North Carolina Virtual Public Schools, and Brian and I, all three of us are still great friends right now. And I learn from them, and they continue to inspire.
What do you feel is like one of the most important aspect of your job as a leader on campus?
I can't. I have to give you a couple on that.
That's fine, no problem.
Sure. So, going back to that PLN piece. I remember something that Jimmy Costas says, that the most important thing that the principals have to engage in is that relationships. Mm-hmm. So one of my most important things, one of my important duties is to, come on campus every day and strike up the conversations and what's going on, and have the laughs and give the hugs and find the jokes. But then at the end of that, you establish that relationship to go to number two. You establish those relationships so people will follow you as a vision builder and a goal setter. School leaders can't, and I say school leaders, principals, assistant principals, but even department chairs, or even grade level chairs, you can't inspire or move a group of people if you don't have that relationship foundation already set and built. Otherwise, you're just reading word. I mean, you can read your vision statement off the letterhead of your newsletter. You know what I mean? But that you translate that results from, hey, we're a team, we're a family. We're built on that, and we're proud of that. But after those relationships, I think establishing a vision is an important piece of what I do.
How do you challenge your staff though to continue their learning and keep pushing themselves like you push yourself?
That's a tough piece because there's a lot that we ask of teachers. There's a lot I ask of my teachers. I can look back on a day and I can put, like, guys, let's do this, and they can get an email or they can have some training from our curriculum department that says we're going to do this and we're going to do this and we're going to do this. So what I like to do is I like to make sure that I'm having good conversations with everybody and I'm tied in with everybody, and I know what their demands are primarily. And then I try to take a couple different things, streamline them, and see where we can take all those goals and maybe inch them up a little bit. I like to share resources with my staff and say what if. So one of the things that I do every Sunday is I send out a weekly blog to my staff, and it's comprised of it's comprised of four sections. The first section is called kudos, and it's like shout outs to the staff. Another section is upcoming events, and upcoming events makes the biggest impact with the staff because they just breathe deep. They just, oh, this is happening this week. Oh God, so it just makes them feel good. There's a section in there called inspiration. So the inspiration section is just, it's just dream big. So, we got some teachers in our, for example, we got some teachers in our school who use Class Dojo extremely well, and I go into their classrooms and I will videotape them for 2 or 3 minutes, and I post it up embedded in the video in the blog, and I like, guys, if you're not doing this, you can do this, and here's how to do it. We got in-house experts who can help you do it. this can get done. So I've done that with GradeCam, Class Dojo, just all kind of 2.0 tools. And then the last section is resources. So resources is just straight up stuff that I dego off of all the stuff that I tweet out for a week. I just go to some good dego resource, some stuff that I've degoed, and put it out there, and they can come back to it. So they can see the resources, and then they can see the availability of the support, and they can and they know that, you know, if they want the help, like, Mr. McCoy, can you help us, or can you arrange for somebody else to come help us?
That's cool. What's something you're really proud of accomplishing, maybe, let's just say, over the last year or so?
The last year is, well, this is my third year at, this is my fifth year being a principal, my third year at this school. My first year we got there, I really made a change towards, well, let me say this, and this is just a little bit of honesty. I came into the school saying, look, I'm not one to make any sweeping changes. That's not what I'm about. You know, just it's not change for the sake of change. But one thing that I did do was I did change. Having said all that, I did change how we meet and plan and collaborate weekly and regularly. We have one day set aside specifically and solely for collaboration on our teams. So we call those collaborative planning on our Wednesdays. So this year, you know, we just made it's consistent efforts to refine our planning process on Wednesdays. Our teachers go in and they know that it's going to be very, very, that talk is going to be streamlined. We don't bring in, Susie did this, or Johnny did this, or whatever. We take a very data-driven look at what we've done previously, what we want to accomplish, what some of the barriers are, what learning will look like, and I'm really happy to see all the growth that's being made there, and with all the growth that we're making there, you know, there's still just plenty of room to grow and go. So it's exciting when teachers are reflecting on what we're doing, reflecting on the process, and they are making suggestions. You know, so what change initially came from me, they're like, hey, what if we did this? Awesome, let's do that. Own that process, you know, because that's what we ultimately want.
Who inspired you most when you were growing up, Derek?
that's a great one. I just did a ISTE's magazine just did a profile on me, and the interviewer he really just asked a whole bunch of questions about my background and my childhood growing up or whatnot, and I knew that it was a big part of it, but I didn't know that it was, but when we talked about it, it really resonated. You know, both my parents were awesome people. My father passed away when I was in college. My mom is 90 years old in December. It's just like she's kicking it awesome. They neither one of them graduated high school, but they had a simple mission that all 10 of their kids, I'm the last of 10, all 10 of the kids would graduate high school. And they will go to secondary, and that happened. And you know, it was just simple. It was just a simple approach, simple directive. You're gonna be respectful. You're gonna achieve. You can do it, and it happened. And I also grew up in the country. I just very very rural. And one of the things that really stuck out for me was that really helped change my mindset towards being just dreaming. Just helped me. That one of the things that helped me a dreamer was my comic books. I started reading comic books, man, like 8, just been collecting them since. I collect them now. I'm a huge comic book reader. Got my two kids hooked on them. So in terms of just being a dreamer, in terms of not even fighting the good fight or right or wrong, it's not even like that. It's just, but it is about fighting and overcoming and dreaming and thinking things can be different and fighting for that reality. So it's awesome stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff. When you're having like a really rough day, what do you do to recenter yourself?
Yes. So now is the rough part of the year, and most days.
Yep. You're telling us.
This is the rough part of the year. So that happens regularly. Most days, I'm in my office having my rough day. I have dropped my pen or stopped typing mid-sentence, left my desk, and I leave my laptop, my phone. I leave all my tools for instructional supervision in my office, and I would just go hang out in a classroom and just sit next to somebody, sit next to a student. And you know, the teachers don't know that I'm having a rough day, but they'll know that something's up, because I'll come in and I'll just start talking to the kid and we'll just get off topic about what's the lesson in the room. Yeah. So I go hang out, man. You know, I go back to what we got into education for in the first place.
Sure, absolutely. What about if you could see yourself back as that first year teacher and maybe be able to give yourself advice? What would you say to yourself?
I would say, because that's how I think. I think a lot about, man, if I could have, I don't dwell on I should have done this different and beat myself
sure,
up.
Sure, right? Reflect. Yeah.
Sure, but I reflect a lot. I would start connecting earlier, different ways. I would start connecting early. I prided myself on being in my silo in the classroom. Okay. I would have become a connected educator early as possible, you know. And you know, Twitter wasn't around then, so it's not about Twitter or Facebook, but it is about reaching out and really embracing that other people can help me get better, and that I do have, there are some other things to share. I would also look at ed tech integration a whole lot different. I would look at ed tech integration a whole lot different, because now, you know, it's not about the tool. You know, we like to look at the pedagogy or the learning outcomes first, and then it was primary, that's one thing that I really had to work my way around and out of is mastery the tool first instead of looking at the pedagogy first. Mm-hmm. So those are a couple different things.
Well, Derek, one of the questions that we always like to end on with our guests is, what is something right now that you're really passionate about?
A couple things that I'm really passionate about is helping educators really dive into their PLN and really just build it, get the most out of it. And so that's in general. Specific is school administrators, you know. So the administrator piece. So Todd, I don't know if you're involved in it, but you know, we got the Ed Camp leaders coming up. You know, being urged by Joe Mazza.
Yeah.
You know, we got all these great Ed Camps going on, but and I've been to a couple this year, and I've get an opening address at one, but if you look at it, it's mainly teachers. You know, we, I think administrators, I don't know, we got to do more to get our administrators in. So that's one thing that I really am passionate about, and I'm fortunate that I got some great members of my PLN who we feel the same way. but we want to do something good and impactful to have to make more administrators connected administrators.
Right.
And another piece is, and I'm diving into this area right now, is just the principal as a lead learner. You know, just what those tools look like, what those attributes look like, because you know it goes into the influence piece. You know, not so much Michael Fullan talked about the fallacy of the detriment of micromanaging. We don't need to micromanage, but we do need to be embraced. We do need to be impactful influencers in our practice. So, those are a couple different things that I'm diving into right now.
That's great. Well, Derek, man, thanks for so much for spending some of your Sunday evening with us. We really, really appreciate it getting to connect with you further. How can people connect with you if they want to reach out to you?
Excellent. I appreciate that. That's great. So, a couple of different ways. I'm on Twitter. Please find me, follow me, hit me up on Twitter. My handle is at McCoy Derek, McCoyDereck. I'm big on Voxer, so yeah, hit me up on Voxer. Voxer is also McCoy Derek, McCoyDereck. Facebook, search for Derek McCoy. You can Skype me. Skype is also McCoy Derek, McCoyDereck. You can see the pattern.
There you go. You're all over the place, man.
And guess what my website is?
McCoy Derek.
There you go.
You guys rock. You guys rock for doing this. I appreciate being. This is the 95th. Is that right?
95th yes, episode. Sir. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, so we've got ways you can connect with us as well at EduAllStarsHQ. You can also find our website at eduallstars.com. If you just search Google for EduAllStars, you'll find us. We got 95 other episodes out there, lots of just great educators and not just principals, teachers, you know, lead learners and people outside the education field that are just leaders. It's just really good stuff. You should take a listen.
Absolutely.
Yes, we hope you join us for our next episode, as we will be having it next week. So thank you so much, Derek, again, and have a great evening.
You guys have a great one.
Take care.